You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you do not have the Civic Media app, you should get it.
Download it right now.
Download it. It's completely free. Go to your app store. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download our free Civic Media app. You can sign up for news updates in your local community. We have news reporters all over the state. So whether you're in Amory or here in Racine or possibly Oshkosh. You can sign up and have news that is curated to your community.
What was the town that we thought was Muscoday?
It's Muscoday.
Muscoday. What did we?
It's spelled Muscoda.
Muscoda. Yeah. Well, I always say Shawano.
It's Shawano.
I know, but you can. But if you live in those places,
you can get news about your community.
Heck yeah.
In Muscoday. So download the Civic Media app today. It is completely free. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk weather with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist for Weather and Wine. We do have some weather coming in on Saturday. That's gonna looks like it's gonna affect the entire state. So stick around for that. 11:30, Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. We'll talk about the big game on Sunday. Of course, we're talking about the Puppy Bowl. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do.
Bark. With,
this shouldn't be a thing. How long has Louis DeJoy been in charge? Edition.
It's such a lot.
I know. It doesn't exactly flow, but that's what we came up with. That will wrap up the show around 11:51. In less than 2 weeks, we will be heading to the polls. You can actually early vote right now if you haven't done so yet. And on the ballot for February 18th, we have three people running to head the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. Among them, education consultant Brittany Kinzer. However, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer with the byline, Kinzer has never held a Wisconsin teacher's license. Her administrator's license lapsed last summer. Her campaign says it doesn't matter because the state's superintendent job doesn't require office holders to have an educator's license. Her people say Brittany Kinzer is more than qualified to be superintendent. 25 years of experience as a special ed teacher, principal, educational consultant, and CEO of a Milwaukee education advocacy nonprofit. I think it's important to note that education advocacy group was pro charter and voucher schools.
Yeah.
So this is my question.
Okay.
Do we want a big proponent of voucher and charter schools to be running the public education system in Wisconsin? It seems like she has bias towards charter and voucher schools.
It definitely
Would we put her in charge of the Department of Public Education to determine what our public schools should do, unless it's just to disband?
Yeah. Will she do to the DPI what Trump is trying to do to the Department of Education right now? I mean, it definitely seems like there's an agenda there. And yeah, so yeah, you don't have to be a licensed teacher to run the DPI. Guess what? Anyone in the building we're in right now can be appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States because you don't have to be a judge or a lawyer. But you know what? I want someone with good experience, with a mission of good education for kids, not pushing the agenda of increasing the second school system that I'm already paying for.
Exactly. We are paying for two school systems.
Yep. And let no one tell you differently.
Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We are absolutely funding two separate school systems, one for public education, the other for charter and voucher schools, which are private and which, if I understand correctly, do not have to follow the same standards or results as our public schools do, and yet they are getting our tax dollars.
Yes, they are. And there are fabulous ways to wiggle out of having the students you don't like and keeping the money. I mean, you could honestly talk about this for hours, and people can with a great deal of intellect. But what I'm saying right now is what you're saying. This person seems to be pushing an agenda that is to essentially strip away our public schools, demolish them down to the ground, and put all the kids in some sort of private voucher, which
religious,
which you will pay for, which I don't know if you know this, but they're not cheap. One and two, I don't know if you agree with them either. Like, you agree with these I mean, I went to Catholic school. That's fine.
So did I.
But I don't think every kid belongs in Catholic school.
And as you said, too, and I've seen other state lawmakers point this out, and as you just pointed out, voucher schools and charter schools can refuse any kid they want.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of hand.
Yes. Yep.
Or they can accept that student, take the taxpayer money, and then expel the student.
Exactly.
And keep the money.
Yes. That is a big deal. That is something that you have. And what do they base it on? Handbooks, guidelines, whatever. They're a private school. They don't have to answer to Madison.
They don't have to answer to anybody.
But most importantly, they don't have to answer to DPI because they are private. So, hey, does your kid want to come to our school via vouchers? That's great. Oh, is your son queer? Well, he can't stay, but I'm going to keep that check. And that's taxpayer money. That is your money.
It's our money. Brittany Kinzer's two challengers, incumbent Jill Underle and Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright, say her expired licenses raise some questions about whether or not she is fit to lead Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. Again, if I understand correctly, her last couple of jobs were advocating for charter schools and voucher schools, mm-hmm. which is why I question why she would be a good fit to run our Department of Public Instruction, which handles public schools. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. I just want to make a comment that Trump is now trying to do away with the Department of Education, and he's saying, well, the states should be in control. But the problem is that everybody in the state doesn't have the option of having a voucher program.
Right.
Yeah.
We need the public schools. And if the state is putting control, that is going to be just like the abortion thing. Women's rights are going to be taken away. Well, if states control of education, children's rights are going to be taken away. Children who have difficulties in school, who may need the disabilities, extra help.
Right.
Their rights are going to be taken away. We have to speak up, and we can't allow that to happen.
Really appreciate that, Ollie. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for checking in. Yeah, I agree. Again, why would we put someone in charge of public schools who advocates for private charter and voucher schools? That doesn't make any sense to me.
And I know that if you go to this week's episodes of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him interviewing both Jill Underle, who is the incumbent, as well as Jeff Wright, who is challenging in the primary. Both sat down and talked to Pat for an interview. As far as I know, what's her name again? Her name
Brittany.
Brittany has not responded or canceled interview requests because my guess is this is a hard agenda to defend. And I just want to remind people, if you don't believe us, I'm going to put in the show notes today a webpage from the Wisconsin Education Network that breaks down county by county, community and school district, how your taxpayer funding dollars are going to private vouchers. It will tell you how much of that money, and you will be shocked, I'm sure. Burlington, not that big, $1.8 million of taxpayer money goes to vouchers in Burlington.
That's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. Ton of taxpayer money.
And again, they do not have to report or follow the same guidelines that our public schools do.
Nope.
Doesn't seem like there's any oversight.
I'd say yes. I'd say little to none.
Little to none.
It's decorative.
And as we've got Rob texting in, my concern too, and as Ollie pointed out, rural areas don't have that many options for schools.
Yep.
And in many instances in our small towns in Wisconsin, the public school is it.
Yep.
And the public school is the center of the community. They don't have options. They don't have three other options for charter schools or voucher schools if you're living in a town of 1,200.
Yeah. Don't worry. They'll build one, I guess. I have no idea. But it's just,
if they're going to allow people to make money off of it and they're going to privatize all of our schools, then maybe you will get a few pop up in some of these smaller communities if they can make money.
Exactly.
But you're going to have enough kids to make it worth their while.
Do you honestly know what this sounds like to me? A weird version of the private prison system. We're going to privatize our schools. We're going to stuff as many kids in there as possible. The more kids, the more money. The education, that's like fourth, fifth on the list. We don't have to worry about that. But that taxpayer money is going to go to real good private schools.
We're talking about Brittany Kinzer and the other two people running to head the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. The primary, less than 2 weeks away, mm-hmm. February 18th. It's going to be here before you know it. Take part. Get involved.
Yes.
Neither of us have kids.
Nope.
That's not, I don't care. I will be voting and casting my ballot in this election.
Yep.
I care about other people's kids.
I do too. And if my tax dollars are going to go to education, I want to go to good education available to all without the hoops of vouchers or charter schools. I want them to go to good public schools. And some people say that's impossible at this point. I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
No.
When we return, Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. We have some snow coming in, and it sounds like it's going to be affecting most of Wisconsin on Saturday. Prepare yourself. I hope you didn't put the shovel away just yet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says, Jane
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform shedding more listeners than a husky blowing its winter coat. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, lady. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful, except for, and I know you're happy about this because that's fine.
Saturday?
No judgment. No judgment. But yes, you're happy about Saturday because it looks like the whole state's going to get snow, right?
Pretty much. I would say maybe the exception of the state line, very, very south along the Illinois border, you might just get a trace to a half an inch. That kind of includes Madison, too. So very, very dry air on that area. But the rest of the state, oh, absolutely, we're going to get hit. Probably the biggest storm of the season.
Seriously. And What time is it going to start on Saturday, and who's going to get it the worst or the best, depending upon how you want to look at it?
All right. So this storm is going to be moving into the northwestern areas. This will be around midnight as we push into Saturday. So overnight, it is going to be spreading widespread. It'll start off light, and it'll start to ramp up, though, throughout the afternoon and wind down by the evening. It looks like probably by dark, it should stop. But this means all day Saturday, the roads are going to be absolutely terrible for a majority of the states. And the temperatures are going to be in the teens to 20s. So it's going to be a light, fluffy type of snow that's going to be blowing and drifting around, recovering roads. And also at those temperatures, salt doesn't like to work too much.
It's too cold.
So, yeah.
Well, that will make my husband happy, because he's one of those people that will bring out the leaf blower.
I love it.
I know.
Why didn't I ever think of that?
But he's tried that a couple times when it's the wrong kind of snow. It's like, yeah, you're going to stand there all day. That's not going to help you. But it sounds like Saturday it might be the kind of stuff where you can just, you know, blow it off a little bit.
I bought a snowblower.
Good for clearing, but also, you know, a pain when the winds are a little feisty too.
Yeah.
They're not looking too bad, not like today. Today's the worst day for the winds, so...
Well, Robin Tigerton said the wind machine is kicking up in the Tigerton area. I bet many snowplow operators are excited about Saturday to make some money plowing snow.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yes. And we have also got the snowmobile trails opening as well. I think Oneida County opens tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And then with the added snowfall, I would figure a ton more are going to be following by Sunday.
Well, do you have any guesses on snow totals, Brittany?
Yeah, so we're looking at a good 5 to 8 inches. And that looks pretty much from, I would say, the Eau Claire area, pretty much from Minneapolis, Eau Claire, down to La Crosse. Then it shoots across the state into Wausau, the Dells area, and kind of continues into the Fox Valley. Green Bay's in the target, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, you're right on that line. And of course, these systems keep wanting to slide a little bit south. So Milwaukee, I would probably keep a heads up just in case your totals increase.
All right.
Well, now I'm going to have to go grocery shopping tomorrow because that's what's going to happen tomorrow is everyone's going to go to the store, because if you're not going to be able to get out on Saturday and then the big game is on Sunday, so you got to have the meatballs ready.
That's true. I would go to the store today. Beat the crowd.
That's a very good idea, Brittany.
Just have them deliver to your house.
Brittany Merlot is our guest. She's Civic Media meteorologist, talking a little bit about the winter storm we have coming up on Saturday. And I did want to ask you this, Brittany. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Elon Musk's minions barged into NOAA yesterday, just like they did the Treasury Department, mm-hmm. and essentially said, give us all your information. I just want to talk to you, a meteorologist, about how important the data that you get from the National Weather Service. How important is that data? What does that do for your job?
Oh, everything for my job. It's how I decipher what I'm going to tell you, how things are changing, what we're looking forward to. I look at this constantly to see how many snowstorms do we get. Like right now, we're short 4 storms. 4 of them have just gone MIA. I would not know that if I didn't have the data from the National Weather Service and NOAA. We would be sitting here like, yeah, it kind of seems like a little bit less. But I can actually give you the facts, the stats. I can go off old storms, see how they progressed. What did they do? Did they shrink? Did it explode? Who got hit the hardest? Was it a wintry mix? Did ice come from that, you know, last night? We really, really, really look into these storms and that data, and it is going to cripple the industry.
I mean, it's okay. I was going to say it's safe to say that if the information was either privatized, made to be bought, or just being changed to, align with agendas, that's not going to make your job easier or help the people anymore by doing those things.
No, they're taking away, you know, key things that we need. It's data. Why are you messing with it? And if you're going to downsize, why are you downsizing from the top? Everyone's relying on that. Those people are needed. I don't know. It's a shame. I'm upset.
Well, Project 2025 always talked about privatizing the National Weather Service. And we talked about paying for your forecasts and things like that. That might be coming. This doesn't seem like a positive, but we will keep our eyes on it. And for right now, we know you can count on her data. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, Snow Queen, as I understand Pat Kreitlow calls you in the morning. So on Up
DJ
North.
DJ Flip Mix.
That too.
Thanks a lot, Brittany. We will see you next week. Stay tuned. We have news coming up next. And when we return, we're talking all things sports from the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Of course, the big game on Sunday. There's also, yeah, that football game, but the Puppy Bowl is on Sunday. And there were some big trades with the Milwaukee Bucks. Not everybody is happy. That's all coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit around 1151, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the How Long Has Louis DeJoy Been in Charge Anyway edition. Not exact, doesn't exactly flow that well, but
I feel like you'd be like,
and you'll get it when we get there. So stick around for that. Right now, though, he joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company. Joining us today on the phone, Paul Noonan. Good morning, sir, from some mysterious undisclosed location.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I'm actually at McCormick Place in downtown Chicago, the convention center. So
nice.
I have found myself a tucked away tiny corner, and should be good.
Nice quiet corner. Lovely. Well, the big news this morning, Paul, obviously, are the trades among the Bucks. So,
yeah,
the Bucks trade Chris Middleton to the Wizards.
They did. And I think this is probably a sad day for all Bucks fans. It is for me. Chris Middleton is legitimately one of the greatest players in franchise history. He is a leader in most major categories, including three-pointers made, with top three in minutes. And more than anything, was legitimately the hero of their title run. Giannis is, of course, the bedrock on which everything else is built. But when Giannis was unable to go, Chris Middleton saved the day. He is the second star, and you always need two on this team. And this is one of those moves where I sort of understand from a logical perspective why it happened. But I do wonder if the Bucks are sort of misjudging their window a little bit with this. So for those who haven't heard about it, they traded Chris Middleton to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, who is a good player, a young player, plays the same position as Middleton. What he brings to the table is youth, health, availability, and hopefully can blend with Damian Lillard and Giannis to sort of get them back on track, as of now they fall into the fifth spot in the playoffs. This is really a trade where they got someone who's worse than Middleton, kind of across the board. But Chris Middleton had ankle surgery on both of his ankles in the offseason. He really hasn't recovered properly. He's an older player, and he'll probably never be as good as he was again. But when he is on the court, he's better. He just is. So this is trading some efficiency for some availability. And it was a pretty steep price to pay. And you send a beloved player away for a guy who is Also a little bit on the weird side, Kuzma is a big personality. He has an interesting fashion sense. If you Google him and the word fashion, you'll get some fun stuff. This does keep the Bucks window nominally maybe open a little longer. But I don't know. I have some concerns on this whole thing. I don't know that the Bucks really understand what they are at this point, and this might be kind of a Band-Aid on a broken bone. So sad, paid a lot. I also should mention there were some financial considerations the Bucks were working on too. The NBA salary cap is 10 times as complicated as any other salary cap in any sport, including the NFL's, which is difficult in and of itself.
Right.
There are two levels that you may go over the salary cap. They're known as aprons. And it's important to understand this because there's new CBA, and the CBA used to not punish you that harshly if you went over it, but the Bucks have been over the second apron, and they needed to cut something like $6 to $7 million to get under it. The penalty for not doing so is that their first round pick in 2032 becomes frozen. And that may seem like forever and never going to happen, but why it's important is you can't trade it if it's frozen. And the NBA trades happen all the time, and if you can't move picks, it really hurts your roster building. So they had to cut that much money to get that pick unfrozen, or at least have the possibility of having it unfrozen. There's other consequences too. If they were over the apron too many times, that pick would become a 30th or worse pick when it actually came up. By doing this, now they can trade picks again, and they can make other moves again. They can do some salary consolidation that they couldn't before. They basically escape a lot of the really heavy penalties that are imposed upon teams over cap. So they were looking at a million ways to get under this apron. I know trading Pat Connaughton was one of the potential things, but you know, you need to have somebody willing to take him in the salary too. And you know, Middleton, for all of his injuries and lack of availability, is a good veteran presence and a star that you can at least do some selling on. And so that is what came, and that is what went. So the Bucks will go forward a little bit younger, a little bit healthier. But when Middleton's out there versus Kuzma being out there, not quite as efficient.
I think they need to make those trade rules even more complicated, Paul, because that's not nearly what a mess. Calvin has been waiting anxiously because he has many thoughts about this. Calvin's a big Bucks fan. What did you want to say about this, Calvin?
Well, I guess I agree with Paul that if you take the names and the emotions and the connections out of it on paper, it sort of borderline makes sense.
That you sound very convinced by that, Calvin.
You should run for political office.
But
that's a perfect summation, honestly.
But when you go deeper than that, Chris Middleton, he is a Milwaukee Buck. So I know it's a business. I know these things happen all the time, but it really just feels disrespectful what we got, what we did to him. Not only the compensation we got for him, but also where we sent him. We sent him to the Washington Wizards, which is a struggling franchise that will always be a struggling franchise, apparently. And it's where veterans go to die.
Oh,
like it's, it was disrespectful from an organizational standpoint.
Yeah. By the way, dovetailing into that a little bit and just how depressing the Wizards are. One of the issues with getting Kuzma back specifically is he had one really good season as a rookie, and he's kind of tailed off as a Wizard. He was a Laker to start off. He ended up on the Wizards, and it kind of looks like he's quit. And I think it's an open question as to whether he can regain his form from a few years ago versus the sort of poor stat lines he's put up recently. He has in the past been a 36% three-point shooter. He's really declined. He's especially declined defensively. And the Wizards kind of do that to guys. So they also form bad habits. I think it's an open question as to whether we get good Kuzma or bad Kuzma. And it really is doing Middleton dirty. That is not a fun place to play. It is a bunch of fairly untalented young players, rookies, and they don't seem to have a good plan there. I don't think Middleton will be there that long. I do think he'll end up being a trade ship after a little while, but he's going to be there for a while. And he really is a Milwaukee Buck, and that was not a nice thing to do to that guy.
I'm forgetting his name right now. He went to the Celtics, but the outpouring of almost mourning on social media for this, because he and Giannis were friends. They had a great relationship. They really worked together well on the court.
Yeah.
And my question is, you know, if he's this many years into his NBA career, how long does he have to hold on to the Wizards to be traded to maybe a better team? Or will he just retire?
Will that even happen? Yeah.
Will he just retire?
So I do think Chris Middleton's longevity is probably an open question. Ankles do not tend to age well on anybody, and especially as you get older. But I think if he can just hang on for a year, he'll move either actually this offseason or at the next deadline. I don't think he'll be a Wizard very long, one way or another. And if he can hold on, I don't think that he'll be there very long.
Well, he's obviously going to be remembered with a great deal of affection here in Milwaukee. And I read something briefly this morning that said that even Giannis called him the GOAT.
Yeah, and those two respect each other a ton. And I think, you know, Giannis is a very smart man. He understands that while he's got his title, he would not have that title without Chris Middleton. They would not have won. They would have dropped that series a couple times.
Calvin?
Well, I just wanted to relate it back to Greg's point about Jrue Holiday. As sad as it was to see Jrue Holiday leave, this is like so much deeper, because Jrue Holiday... Yeah. As much as we loved having him in Milwaukee, he never totally felt like a Buck in the same way as Chris Middleton, just in the sense that he wasn't here for as long, and he was traded in with the clear purpose of he's the piece we need to win a championship. And we also set him up very nicely.
Yeah, true.
And he got to go to a contending team.
Yeah, very much so. Some would say better than the Bucks in certain points.
Yes. Indeed, that's true. I agree with that. Like, Middleton's a long time Buck, you know? Jrue Holiday was a very important player as well for the team. But this is like as core a player as the franchise has ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, a very storied one. Like, we've had Ray Allen, we've had Kareem, we've had a ton of great players play for the Bucks over time. Very few have been as successful and played as long as Middleton. That list is like three guys long, and he's probably at the top of it, other than Giannis.
Well, we wish him well.
Yep.
Absolutely wish Chris Middleton well and hope he does well. If you're just joining us, by the way, Paul Noonan is here, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, and he joins us every Thursday to talk all things sports. Before we talk about the important game on Sunday, the Puppy Bowl, let's talk about the matchup between the Eagles and the Chiefs.
We've seen the Super Bowl already, and I was really hoping for any other Super Bowl to have happened. And I do. So greatness is fine, but greatness actually, I feel like, does get a little bit boring after a while. I feel like the Patriots dynasty got a little boring for people after a while when they had the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback. And the Chiefs are really threatening that at this point, who also have the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of modern times. It should be a pretty close matchup, but this is not like the most explosive offenses. It's one of the more down offenses the Chiefs have possessed. It's very pass heavy, as you would expect. But a lot of their stars moved on. It's kind of old man Kelsey and Mahomes and a bunch of okay guys. And the Eagles are not an explosive offense. I know they lit up Washington because they can run the ball really well, and Washington can't stop the run. But their passing attack is very medium, and it's hard to run the ball against Kansas City. This is a sort of oddly a defense versus defense Super Bowl. I don't wager on sports myself, but I do like the under in this game. I think the Chiefs will have a really good shot to shut the Eagles offense down. They're very, very good at playing, at stopping guys who excel at man. The Chiefs are very good at stopping that. And I mean, forced to pick a team, it's hard to bet against Mahomes and Reed in a clutch game. They just come up, you know, they come up big every single time they're put in the situation, in the Chiefs era anyway. I do think it'll be kind of a grind game. So I've looked forward to Super Bowls more than this one. I wish somebody would knock those guys off.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a really defensive-focused game.
I mean, well, that can make for exciting stuff, then. I mean, if it's a low-scoring, high-defense game, that can make it fun to watch, and not just for the commercials. But the question I have is, if Kansas City wins, will Kelsey retire? I mean, that'll be, what, his third or fourth Super Bowl ring? And... You know, you just referred him as old man Kelsey, so it might be time for him to join his brother full time in endorsing everything that's on television.
It might be. Everything he's indicated so far is that he would like to come back again. And he's such a clever, like, quick tight end. Yeah. That he's definitely lost some speed since over the last 2 years, for sure. You can see him not as fast.
Yeah.
But he's still good. So I think he's not really in it. He doesn't have to. If he wants to come back for another run, he totally can. He is a clever route runner, and those guys age well. But it might be the last we see of Travis Kelce, but I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back for one more run.
Gotcha.
Oh, just about out of time, Paul. Real quickly, the Lombardi Trophy is is up for grabs this weekend. So are you leaning Team Ruff or Team Fluff this year?
Always Team Fluff.
Team Fluff.
The cute ones, they take you by surprise.
Cool. I
heard Team Fluff is doing the drugs.
Yeah. Go Team Fluff.
It's a
you
small
heard.
Field. You want the small quick. You don't want the big lumbering.
Paul Noonan knows his puppy bowl, man. I'm telling you. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, all.
Stay with us. We're going to return and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the author and founder of the Recombobulation Area. He will join us right after 11 o'clock. He has a new column out about Donald Trump's victory and how he think the Republicans were able to achieve that victory, kind of changing their tactics a little bit. So I'm sure we will be breaking that down with Dan Schaefer tomorrow. In hour number one tomorrow, Randy Manner is going to join us.
Yeah.
He is a retired major general in the United States Army. We talked a lot to him leading up to the election. And now that Donald Trump has been in office for all of 2.5 weeks and he is dismantling, it looks like, numerous agencies, including this USAID. And I'm sure Randy worked with many agencies providing assistance overseas during his 30-year career in the Army. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that with him, what this means, and which country does this benefit? If we remove ourselves from offering aid in these instances, who's going to move in and be the good guy if we're not going to be?
Yeah.
And it's China.
Oh, boy.
So he will be joining us tomorrow right after the 10:30 news. I hope you can join us for that. Don't forget, you can always listen to us as a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss the show, just go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to like 100 previous episodes.
Yeah, you'll get quite a few months back. And you can also go to your podcast distribution center of choice and download it and subscribe to the show as a podcast.
That'd be great.
You can review us, give us 5 stars if we deserve it. Love to hear from you. Drop a note. Join us.
It is 11:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today, it is the How Long Has Louis DeJoy Been in Charge edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. By the way, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Independent. Byline for Sydney Page from the Washington Post. Headline reads, Michigan woman receives 100-year-old postcard in the mail. We've all seen mail get delayed for weeks, but 100 years, that's really something. When Brittany Keach checked her mailbox one morning, she found the usual junk mail. Also included in that, a tattered and time-worn postcard. The 30-year-old from Belding, Michigan said, at first I didn't think much about it, other than it looked old. Then I took a closer look. She spotted a 1 cent George Washington stamp. Postmarked October 29th of 1920. She got this 100-year-old piece of mail on September 8th. On the front of the postcard, it's Halloween related. Which would you rather be, W-I-T-C-H? Which would you rather be, a pumpkin head or a witch? She said it appears to be addressed to a Mrs. Roy McQueen. So she's trying to find people who this might belong to. The postcard was signed by Flossie. Doesn't get better than that. The postcard signed by Flossie Burgess.
Oh!
Flossie Burgess. She's decided she will try to reunite the long-lost postcard with the family to whom it was originally sent. She did post this on Facebook. She quickly found out that others were interested in uncovering the origins of this and how 100 years later it ended up in the right mailbox.
Yeah.
It was the right address.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple hundred, 100 years late.
Well, better late than never. It gets there eventually. Hopefully it's not like, the ingredients to an antidote.
True.
Yeah.
Or medication.
Yeah.
But I guess that's Louis DeJoy's new slogan for the post office. It might not be on time, but it'll get there in 100 years.
We'll get it to you.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah. Just be patient.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up next, we have news on the way, followed by Todd Alba. From noon to 2 p.m. in hour number two, like we do, Todd tries to lighten it up a little bit with what's worse. You never know what it's going to be. It's always a lot of fun. Join Todd for that. Nagy Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba, you might be pinch hitting for tonight.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
6 to 8 p.m. with Nightlights. Pat Kreitlow, of course, Up North News Radio, gets things started early from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 a.m. until 10. We will be back with you tomorrow morning. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have a chance to share it. Stay close. News next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.